the reality and truth about Israelite racial profiling. What's going on?
You know what it will. Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego. Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of meso. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo. But the Messiah ain't playing no wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or bury the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go. For all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath. Or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead. Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
Hey. Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shabbat shalom, Captain Aparian.
Hey, shalom, Most High in Christ, blessed, Officer Amariah.
And I am pleased to announce Congressman Charlie Rangel is joining us today. Yeah, let's get him on the plane.
He said yesterday, I don't look like him. I don't look like him.
Congressman Charlie Rangel is in the house. Introduce yourself, brother.
Hey, shalom, Most High Christ, blessed, Officer Yari.
Of IUIC CTAC in the house.
Hey, Adam is in the building.
CTAC.
Seattle is in the building.
I don't know. CTAC is wearing on me. I told him.
I think he's using reverse psychology when he says that.
That's pretty much what it is.
Right.
Hey, don't kick against the pricks, all right? Just embrace it.
Hey, I'm telling you, hey, that's
a clean look for you guys.
The hour cometh when I must make a decision on what we're going to call on official paperwork.
I like CTAC. I think it sounds cool, man.
You know what I was telling him? The only reason I would lean away from it is that nobody that's not from there would know what that is.
Yeah, that's true. Unless you fly.
Just like nobody knows what the Great Northwest is.
Everyone
knows
that.
But yet you want to run with that.
No, nobody knows what that is.
I don't really know.
Well, because it has the word great in it. So that's why they want to run with it.
Vanity of vanities. All things are vanity.
But everybody knows.
No.
That's the thing. No one knows that. But you guys.
California. New York knows.
No, New York don't know that.
No, New York. New York. Are we from New York?
Yeah, you can't say New York knows it when they're the ones that are from headquarters.
I represent New York.
Well, just so you know, there's 9 million people in New York City, a couple.
I represent the delegation from New York City, and we do not know what the Great Northwest is.
Seattle.
But I thought that meant like Buffalo, you know, like near Niagara Falls.
I don't know what
that meant. Because that could be the Great Northwest, because that's the Great Northwest of New York State.
Well, you know, we do have good Buffalo in Seattle.
Oh, sure you do.
Yeah, man.
You do. No, the food is good. Food is good.
Eats, yeah.
That joint you took us to, man, was good. It was good.
I get eats.
It was good. Can't wait to go back.
It was good.
Get some corn cakes.
Corn cakes.
Yeah. Lawful cream beef.
Right. You see that? Captain, that's his favorite spot. Captain.
Who, me?
No, Captain Parham said that's his favorite.
Yeah.
Well, I only went that one time.
The cream beef was disappointing, but it was not enough beef. It was more cream, less beef.
It was low.
I really wanted beef with cream.
No, not cream beef.
Not cream beef. I don't know. When it's pork, bro, it's loaded with sausage.
Oh, a whole bunch.
But there was hardly any beef in there.
Sin.
Right? I know.
Just adding sin to sin, huh? Just adding sin to sin.
Anyway, shalom to the nation that's tuning in. All right, I see we got some viewers tuning in on the live stream. blogtalkradio.com/IUIC Phoenix. You can find us there.
Calling number.
The calling number is 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. For more learning and understanding, you can visit IsraelUnite.org. That's www.IsraelUnite.org. And for all your Israelite apparel, music, art, gear, you can go to www.OriginalRoyalty.com. OriginalRoyalty.com. Not on the Sabbath, though. The store.
It's closed anyway.
Should be.
Should be.
You got the brother that falls asleep at the wheel sometimes, bro. And the site is up. Or it'd be like 2 days after Sabbath. The site is down. One day we'll get it right, Israel. One day. So, a lot kind of coming to a head this week, man. You know, I mean, a lot of stuff. So, we were thinking about it. You know, I almost thought about talking about, because I know he would love this, bro, and then I could just sit here.
Missy.
And not have to say anything.
Missy.
How Iran did a direct strike on Israel from Syria. And they're saying this is the beginnings of war. I mean, they say that with everything.
No, actually, he would love that because he brought that up at Camp 101.
So I figure he would love that. I know that's what he loves. I know.
The hot topic, though.
Wait, when I came in on New Moon, wasn't he talking about stuff like that, too?
Yeah. So, scripture says, Christ said, right? Look at the times and the times, man. So just,
a hot
just
topic.
Keeping everybody, you know, on point. Nobody's saying, you know, nobody knows, right? But
No, but I'm saying that would have been good because I could have just, like, sat back like this.
No, you wouldn't have sat back.
I've just been like this.
Now, you know what? Because there's something particular about that seat where, like, you just feel empowered and you have to, like...
Is it? Is that what it is?
I'm telling you, on Wednesday nights, I mean, I might want to toot my own horn.
Maybe I've left a portion.
I'm on fire on Wednesday nights.
Maybe I left a portion of my spirit on the chair.
Maybe. That's what it is. I don't know. But it's something about that seat in particular.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I don't know. Maybe it's the control board right
there.
I don't know.
I think it's seeing that might make you feel like... I'm daddy.
I'm dead.
But today we're going to talk about the reality and truth about Israelite racial profiling. Everyday racial profiling is a danger to the Israelite man and woman's life. But it's a sobering reality that all natives, Hispanics, blacks have lived with at some point. And kind of daily, like it's something that is stuff that we come across, whether it's somebody making an awkward joke,
mm-hmm.
right? Or, you know, something under their breath, or to straight to the face, all right? I mean, we've all experienced some manner of that stuff.
Or when you go into a department store.
Yeah, that's a typical one.
I know people watching, look, they'll be like, yeah, you go there, yeah. I guess it's a spiritual thing. I could tell they freaking following me. I'm like, even before the truth, I was like,
no, I got racially profiled and detained out here. Like,
that's right, ago. I remember that. That's right. True. He didn't have his ID, and they were like, yeah, they're gonna try to send you over the border.
Like,
you
know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I live on the floor.
Like, no, officer, you understand? I am actually not Hispanic, and I am a veteran of the U.S. Armed Forces.
Oh, so you use the Edomite voice?
I tried to the best of my ability.
That's using wisdom, bro.
Hell yeah.
You got to switch gears and freaking...
Start coming up with...
If you got to Brian Gumble it, Brian Gumble it, bro.
I tried to, but I was still detained for like 8 hours.
You got to IBM it.
Well, it would have been the whole weekend if you didn't Brian Gumble it.
There you go, right? There it is.
I'm getting... Volume is kind of low.
The volume is low. I mean, that's that. So, I don't know. You clean the grease off your mics on your phone.
Is the volume up on that?
It has nothing to do. He can't control that.
Can't control that.
No. Bezalel did recommend some stuff that I could plug into the board and via the phone and stuff. I gotta look into it so that the volume is louder.
All right, we'll try to use our.
They said it's kind of low, so hopefully it's not too bad.
Hey, it could be their speakers.
Doom.
Turn my headphones up. unfortunately, we just have the open air mic of the phone. So, but we'll look at upgrading, so it feeds right in. But the thing is, you know, as Israelites, that's something that, you know, as woke Israelites, that's something that we expect, right? You talk about don't sleep as others do,
mm-hmm.
That we should, you know, be watchful. What that's really going into is that, you know, when we see those things, we should be mindful. And that means that should kind of reestablish our faith to kind of move more with a sense of urgency in our walk in repentance, mm-hmm. right? Because all that knowing is all good, but without any actions of repentance behind it, it really doesn't serve us any purpose, because the other nations know what's going on.
Yeah, and that just solidifies the reality of everybody being saved, because you're gonna be going through that in the next kingdom too.
Right, right. And it's funny because I was typing a letter for one of our congregants that's going through something in the court system, and it's almost like her faith is on trial versus the real issue.
Right, the real issue. Right.
And you know, so they brought in like a, I don't know, like a mediating counselor or something to help her. Long story short, he asked me to write a letter. He showed me the verdict and the ruling, and it vexed me when I read the ruling, because they're talking about our beliefs as Israelites. And the first thing that pops into my head is, how come nobody is addressing Judaism then?
Right.
Because Judaism essentially does the same thing. They're just not out on the streets, you know, or doing radio shows about it, but their beliefs are essentially the same as ours, except, you know, with the exception of we know who we are and they think they're the Jews.
Yeah, right? It's just like nobody questions the fact that this idiot Netanyahu talking about that Jerusalem has been the it's okay to have the embassy there because it's been the capital for 3,000 years when that's not even...
Right. And you know, so when the religion's on trial, it makes me think of, like, you know, and again, Judaism always pops into my head, because how come nobody's, you know, the Jews believe the absolute same thing, that right, they're above and everybody else is below.
And it's written.
And it's written. Mm-hmm. They believe that they're the first fruits, and other people can be in the kingdom, but they're not going to serve the same role as them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went on record explaining this, and I told them, listen, the scripture says there's a place in the kingdom for all nations.
Nice.
And there is.
There really is.
No, really. When you read Acts 15, there's a place in the kingdom for all nations.
So I'm going to get paid minimum wage.
And so, you know, I wrote the letter and I explained that, and I explained how we keep our beliefs. And so, you know, he sends a follow-up. And in the follow-up, we're talking about, he says, you know, some of the things that the court was alarmed about was, you know, on your website, it shows that, you know, you say Caucasians are Esau or Edom, and it appears like there's no place for them in the kingdom. Wow. So I this is going to bring me to my next point. So I go back and I say, yes, I said Esau is the Caucasians, according to the Bible. I said, just as Ishmael is the Arabs, and I said, et cetera. I said, you know, the Lord named 18 nations. Mm-hmm. I said, and we all descend from those 18 nations. I said, now, in reference to, you know, you stating that it seems like there's no place in the kingdom, I said, understand that a kingdom is a monarchy. I said, and in a monarchy, there's a king and there's a class system. I said, so there is a place, but not every place is the same for everyone. And it got me to thinking, and I mentioned, just like Christianity and just like Judaism, I mentioned it again, mm-hmm, because how come nobody's attacking Christianity for that? Because Christianity, they don't say racially, but they say sinners. Right. But we live in a world where, how come that's not inflammatory? Because they're saying there's a kingdom and sinners will not be in it. That sounds like separatism to me.
That's right. Or how come nobody complains the present kingdom?
Right. Well, no, they don't think of it that way. So that's mm-hmm, exactly why. But the point is, I don't see how the religion, as they call it, should be the thing front and center on this. Then the other question was, you know, what about with the family and, you know, practicing two religions? I said, I don't know of any faith on this planet that allows you to have two religions. I said, because that's the other thing. The court's like, well, how come she can't practice this religion here when they're with this parent, and this religion when they're with that parent?
Just says, can two walk together lest they be a group?
Oh, and I told them this, and mm-hmm, I quoted this, you know, I brought out a house divided cannot stand.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I told them, I said to propose or to try to inflict otherwise, is basically an infringement of someone's rights in this country to say that, you know, they have to be able to practice two faiths.
And that's why you have separation of church and state.
Right, right. So the whole thing just smells to high heaven to me. And I wish there was a freaking Better Call Saul or somebody that would eat it up and jump in and help this sister out from a lawyer perspective. Because that's not the issue of what should be on trial.
That's not the issue at all.
And that's what's on trial. No, and then it turns out like the attorney that she has, I think she's been half-assing it the whole time because she filed a motion to separate from her. Well, these are the afflictions. This all ties in. I'm saying all this because it ties in to what we're going to talk about today, what we are talking about today. This is all part of the racial profiling, all right? Because, again, it goes back to how come Amalek doesn't go on trial for these type of things. Nobody's talking about their religion. And, oh, and I mentioned how they call the other nations Goyim.
Right.
And that means that
and
they're
it's
lesser.
Written, it's documented in the Talmud.
Yeah. And
their
that means that they're lesser.
Book.
And I also noted, and I said, now, with that being said about the convictions to the religion, I said, nobody's supposed to alienate their families or anything. I said, the scripture also, and I quoted Ecclesiastes 9, I said, time and chance is given to all of us to repent. I said, and so none of us should be here writing people off. That's for God to decide.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff.
That's amazing,
whatever.
Man. That's amazing.
And, you know, it's like you got to be careful when you respond to these things. You got to use because they're going to cling on words and try to distort what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like I wanted to go in and maybe not use as much scriptures because this is stuff that's going to be, you know, admitted into the court system. But I told them, listen, I said, to try to explain these things without scriptures, it would be trying to explain something without context.
Okay,
I said, and I have to get the scriptures to do that.
They brought religion into it.
Well, that was his thing, though. That was, you know, the petitioner was, you know, I don't want to give too much information. The petitioner was the one that brought the religion piece in. But I just don't understand how the court can
well, but they allowed it to come in, and now they piggyback over. It's the point I'm making.
Right.
They should have shut that down from the beginning because
right.
There's supposed to be a separation between church and state.
Right, right.
It's
exactly.
The Constitution.
Right. So, you got to read the ruling, man. It's such a big part of the whole thing. And then what they did was they because the child doesn't celebrate Christmas and New Year's, they gave her by court order to the other parent to celebrate Christmas and New Year's.
And again, and that's the separation. They should not have. There's no legal base. They should not.
I want to tell you because people think that like we bring this stuff out and that it's like give me 2 Maccabees 5 and 6. People think that we bring this stuff out. And, you know, we bring these scriptures up a lot in this show, I noticed. Like, these are the main themes. And the reason that a lot of these things have to come up is because of the ignorance of many of our people and people watching that don't understand that they can't seem to make the connection prophetically. And I was talking about this when I gave my class last week, the small minds. Like, you know, nobody right now on this earth has spiritual power like they did back then. But the examples in the scripture and how the Lord moves – if your spiritual eye is open, you'll see how it's being done. And right now it just dawned on me. I thought of the scripture when I said that about how they made the little girl go keep these holidays by court order.
By bitter constraint.
That's exactly what I thought of. So get me 2 Maccabees 6 and 6.
The book of 2 Maccabees chapter 6 and verse 6. Neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts. Or to profess himself at all to be a Jew.
Now, mind you, I'm not speaking about America today, all right, when this ruling, this was December 2017 when they gave this ruling against this sister that's with us. I'm not speaking about America today. This is the time of the Greeks. But this is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. They made it unlawful for the little girl to observe her own holidays. And they forced her to observe those holidays. Go ahead.
And in the day of the king's birth every month, they were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifice.
That's the bitter constraint by a court order. Or the mother would have been locked up for violating that order.
And these times you would have been put to death.
These times you would have been put to death. The mother would have been locked up and lost her whole case over the whole thing. But they said no, because the parent doesn't celebrate Christmas and New Year's, we're giving it to the other parent for Christmas and New Year's. By bitter constraint. Go ahead.
And when the feast of Bacchus was kept, the Jews were compelled to go in procession to Bacchus carrying ivy.
And so they compelled this little girl by a court order to go ahead and worship the pagan holidays pertaining to Cronus and Saturnalia. Go ahead.
Moreover, there went out a decree to the neighboring cities of the heathen by the suggestion of Ptolemy against the Jews, that they should observe the same fashions and be partakers of their sacrifices.
It's the same thing. You're seeing it happen close to home. And mind you, this happens on many levels, all right? But stuff like this isn't reported in the media. Stuff like this isn't reported at large. If not for us having intimate knowledge of this situation, we wouldn't see these persecutions happening. Read.
And whoso would not conform themselves to the manner of the Gentiles should be put to death. Then might a man have seen the present misery.
Okay, so it's not upon pain of death like you brought out clearly. All right, so it's not upon pain of death. But it's being imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, the Bible is a spiritual book. And I think even among some of our own brothers and sisters that are repenting, I think they often forget the spirituality of the book. And I can't think of a better thing that I have intimate knowledge of that has brought 2 Maccabees 6 to life for me right now. Because that's exactly what happened in this situation. You got something you want to bring up?
Yeah, this is the book of Psalms, chapter 96, or 94, verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law?
That's right. So they use their laws and they use their system to frame their mischief, their evil. So, you know, listen, for some people that don't be confused, I want to kind of just reemphasize, because someone will go on video and saying I'm saying all people can be saved. In order to be saved, it would have to be implied that the Savior is for everybody.
Right.
Right. And we know, according to Luke 1 and 68, what salvation is. We know, according to Acts, who salvation is for. And
we know according to a lot of scriptures in the Bible.
Right.
Let's face it, the whole Bible.
So according to the scriptures, all right, the Savior is for the Israelites because they are the ones that need saving.
Right. We often use the analogy, if someone's robbing a bank and things go wrong and then they end up holding up 20 hostages, the cops aren't coming to save the hostages and the people that are robbing the bank.
Right.
They're coming to bring salvation to those that are being held captive.
That's actually a really good analogy if you think about that, because we're being held captive.
Right.
We're being held hostage.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. And Christ is coming to save us from those that are doing that harm to us.
The top cop.
Right.
Right.
The top cop is coming. And I'm not off, because when you read Acts 15 and you precept it with Amos 9, 14 and 15, I believe, you understand that what it is saying is that, yes, all nations will be in the kingdom,
right.
But it is a kingdom. And I've often likened it to this. And you remember I said this at the camp spot one day. Everything is going to be similar to what it is now, except we will be on top and you will be the garbage man, the person that's the cashier behind the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be that'll be you. What's going to happen is what's upside down is going to be turned right side up.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to flip it. We're going to flip it. Hey, that reminds me, because I've been listening to Busta Rhymes at the gym lately. So he talks about give me some more. He was like, when I was a shorty, I fell down and bumped my head. And his brother came over and he said, hey, why you bump your head? He goes, oh, I don't know. He goes, oh, so you're going to flip it on him? Yeah, I'm going to flip it. He's talking some nonsense. He must have been high as hell when he did the thing. But I'm thinking about it, we're going to flip it on him.
That's what it is. Everything's been turned upside down. And now the Spirit of the Lord is going to the earth through his prophets.
You got that? It'll be esteemed as the potter's clay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, read that.
The book of Isaiah 29 and verse 16. Surely you're turning of things upside down.
Surely you're turning of things upside down, starting with Esau and all the nations that are confederate with him. All right, according to Psalms 83. Okay, Psalms 2. Go ahead.
Shall be esteemed as the potter's clay.
It'll be esteemed as the potter's clay, meaning you think you've solidified and cemented your narrative. Clay can be reformed redone, because you are not the creator. The creator will change whatever he wants to change. And what you fail to realize is that things are the way they are because the creator allows it to be so.
Right. Give me
finish this.
Oh, I thought he was done. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not?
Right. So you can't go. Your hands are too short to box with God. So can the clay, all right, that's molded and created by the potter, say to the potter, hey, you didn't make me for that purpose. You didn't make me that way. Go ahead.
Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding?
Right. You can't go ahead and question and say to your creator, you have no understanding. I'm the gods of the earth. No, you're not. God already established who that is. And it is the Israelites, according to the scriptures, which are the so-called natives, Hispanics, the blacks, all right, and all the scattered throughout the world. Okay. Because you know, you have people harping on the Isaiah 11:11, saying that we're trying to be crafty. They're like, well, how come you can't put them in tribes? Because they don't even know what tribes they're from.
We can't put them in tribes, but we can't put them on this chart because the scripture says that the spirit bears witness with our spirit.
Right.
Then you are the sons of God.
That's the remnant. That's the opening.
I can't believe they're going that far. Why can't you put them in a tribe?
Hey, and that's why Christ said he will come and sift like a sieve.
Right.
Because what's not meant to go through will not make it through.
So on that day when we got Gad right here, right? We got Judah. Yep. Judah right here, you know, amongst you two. Issachar right here. You know,
right.
Who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
Right. I know. He's saying right. You Gad, brother.
Yeah, that's because
you love that great Northwest. You were talking about the oxen and everything. I think you
there
get,
is there and, is a lot of Gad up there,
hey,
bro.
And I seen your hair when it's long, bro. It looks very Gadite-ish.
Hey, you know, as long as I go through a date, so that's
see, terrible. And that's the point I'm trying to make. So
exactly.
We busting chops, right? But Isaiah 11:11 really is telling you that yes, you need to know the tribes because of the 144,
right?
All
right,
but Israel is the key. Israel,
right.
Being Israel is the key.
Gates represent rulership. Okay, the gates of hell shall not prevail, the scripture says, right? That's talking about the ruling government now. When Christ returns, they're not going to prevail. So the gates, when you look at it spiritually and literally, it's talking about rulership. So the 12,000 from the 12 tribes are going to be in rulership, and everyone else, you can't. What are we going to rule us? There has to be other people there to do the work, like the captain brought out. Now, that being said,
wait, hold on real quick, guys. On that day, it says that there'll be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth.
Right.
We're going to be so happy to receive that salvation. We're not going to care which gate that'll be went through. We're going to just be crying and be so happy that we even made it.
Ain't nobody on that day. If one of the freaking cherubims points you the other way,
gonna be like,
as long as he don't point back behind you, and he points left or right to go around to one of the other gates, it's going to be okay. All right? It's going to be okay.
Every little thing.
I'm going to get in there and laugh about it. Right. Bro, yo, Judah. <No, laughs> Go ahead, Cap. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Psalms 82:5, just to get straight to the point, precept for Isaiah 29.
The book of Psalms, chapter 82, verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness.
We walk in darkness, okay, believing that this life, this world that we're living in is correct. It's the right way, right? Go ahead.
All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
Everything right now is out of course. This is not the way. There's scriptures that say that the fir trees are going to be happy when Christ returns, the black Messiah, okay? Things are not – the soil are depleted, okay? This man – the oppressor, like we were saying on the Native Beast Show, has destroyed everything here.
Romans 8:19 tells you the earnest expectation of the creature awaiteth the manifestation of the sons of God. And when you read on, it talks about the whole, the trees, everything is waiting for things to be set right.
Right. Why? Because trees have spirits in them. There's life in them. That's why they grow. Everything has spirits in them. And they're waiting. Let me tell you, Lord of the Rings was not far-fetched. When you see the trees walking and stuff like that, okay, that's all scriptural.
Right.
Okay, not that trees are going to walk, but they're saying metaphorically there's life in everything. Everything. And that everything is controlled by the Most High God. There's plenty of scriptures on that. I bring up the waters, the oceans, right? The earth is what, like 70% water? Why doesn't the whole land, why don't the small portion of land get swallowed up by the water? If you look at a beach, it goes and goes right back. And that's the scripture, right? It says everything goes back, okay? It's in Ecclesiastes, when it's talking about the regeneration. It goes and goes back, okay? And when the Most High decides he wants to bring terror, right?
Mm-hmm.
He lets it go further. And that's when tsunamis, and that's when hurricanes, and that's how he uses it. You know, you got to look at it spiritually, man.
The Lord has checks and balances for things.
For
man.
Everything.
You know what I'm saying? That's how he sets it up. Give me Romans 8:19, because some people think when we're talking about the Lord of the Ring things, they're going to be like, oh, Cap's off his meds. All right? Give me Romans 8:19 and then get Isaiah 14:7-8. All right? So you have Isaiah?
No, I have Romans.
Okay, you have Romans. Get me Isaiah. All right? He's going to read me Romans. Get me Isaiah 14:7. Read me Romans 8:19.
The book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 19. For the expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
I love that scripture, I love that scripture because it's telling you the whole earth is waiting for the Israelites to be in rulership with Christ. Okay. Mm-hmm. And yes, all nations will be there as well. Isaiah 66 explains this distinctly to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, as far as how long some of the nations will be there.
Aha.
Okay. As far as what role they play. Right. I can't put that in one letter. I can't put that in a response to an email. That takes a certain level of understanding to bring out. So I'm not going off my rocker when I say all nations have a place in the kingdom. That is correct. They will. Because, like I said, it's going to be the same thing like now. Just, hey, the scripture tells you Moab is going to be the wash pot.
Right.
So we need janitors.
For all these years, they've been trying to completely eradicate us off the earth. But when the scripture says that something along those lines will happen to the nations, it's like all like, oh, my goodness, it's racist.
Right. It becomes problematic. So read 8 and 19 again.
The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Give me Isaiah 14 and 7.
This book Isaiah 14.
And this is prophetic of when Christ returns things in order. Go ahead.
To the mic.
Isaiah 14 and 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing.
The whole earth will be at rest when things are set right, when the foundations are set correctly.
Right, when you read up.
Right, when the yes, exactly. All right. When the turning of things upside down has been chosen, has been set together. All right. Read 14 and 1 real quick. I'll at least indulge in verse 1. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel.
Yeah, because this whole doctrine that's out there amongst Christianity about that. Yeah, he was for Israel, but then they rejected him. So he said, all right, I'm going to go to the other nations. No, the scripture says, he will yet choose Israel. Despite all our iniquity, he will yet choose Israel because he is the Lord and he changes not. And he made a promise to Abraham via Isaac and Jacob of what was going to be. Read.
And set them in their own land.
God is going to set us in our own land. That also tells you that the people over there now are not the people of the book. Go ahead.
And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob.
Hey. The other nations are going to be there. All right? Read, though.
And the people shall take them and bring them to their place.
But the people are going to have to take them and bring them to their place.
That's right.
Go ahead.
And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids.
That's it.
See, but you can't put that in a letter.
No, I can't put that in a letter.
That's no different than them taking us and bringing them to this place.
It isn't. Because that's how this is America. That's how America was built.
Right.
That's even the historians will at least be in agreement on this one thing. America could not, would not, no way would have been the country that it is today without the free labor off the backs of our people.
Just no two ways about it. You ask anybody on the street that believes in God, is God a just God? They'll say yes. Okay, well, then when the scripture says in Revelation to reward them double what they did to you.
Right. Hey, everybody gets happy, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, all right? When they catch one of these shooters and they convict them and they get locked up,
mm-hmm.
everybody feels justice was done, right?
Yeah, right?
So what's so different that we're telling you, hey, there's a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth that has yet
there
to serve his penance for what he's done?
Hey, you have people that are happy that Bill Cosby got convicted, and how many years ago was that?
Bro, I know. Don't even get me started.
You're right. But what about that? So they vindicated, right?
Yes.
He was found guilty. Okay, that was a long time ago. In fact, the statute of limitations freaking expired except for the one.
Right.
So,
except the Lord doesn't have a statute of limitations.
No. There's no statute of limitations. But I'm just saying, right? That was a long time ago. So why can't we be happy when the real criminal took this land by force and by blood, like the scripture says.
That's not evil.
We're
that's
wrong
not
for
hatred.
Feeling that, Cap.
Everybody feels satisfaction when justice is done.
That's why I brought it up, because that was a good analogy.
Right. Read, continue.
And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were.
Mm.
And they shall rule over their oppressors.
Duh. All
that's
right.
Clear.
Now jump to verse 7.
That's clear.
Verse 7.
When this happens, this is what's going to happen to the earth. Go ahead.
The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing.
Read.
Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee.
If it's telling you that the trees will rejoice at thee, then Captain A is not far. He's not saying that an ant from Lord of the Rings is going to come
right.
and freaking fight
right.
Sauron, the evil.
Nah,
you know what
you
I'm saying?
Me, let, don't get simple.
Yeah,
right. right.
You have
right.
some people that
nah,
are
no,
on
I
some stupid
nah,
stuff.
I know,
like
I know,
that.
I know. Oh, trust
right?
me, I know. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's scriptural, all right? It says, yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, meaning there's life in them. There's a spirit in that. Go ahead.
And the cedars of Lebanon saying,
they're going to say this. Go ahead.
Since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us.
All right, let's go back to Romans 8. That's all I want on that, because we'll be we'll, the
oh, yeah,
show will go somewhere
cause
else. Cause
this man
yeah.
meeting that alone.
Yeah,
I can
yeah.
go somewhere
the
with
trees
that.
Are going to be like, God, dang, it took y'all long enough. My goodness.
Right, so 8:19.
Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons
That's
of God.
That's what we're reading in Isaiah 14. Read on.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope.
Right. So it's saying the creature was made subject to vanity, meaning they don't have the same measure of control. When mm-hmm. Adam, the Lord made Adam above everybody. So he made humans, people. All right. But chiefly Adam
the
and
Adam.
Other people came mm-hmm. from Adam. Mm-hmm. But then it goes through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay, to be rulers over these things. So he said, not willing by reason of who have subjected the same in hope. Go ahead.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Because even the earth is in bondage to these imposters, to this vagabond and fugitive that is ruling the earth with his cohorts. Mm-hmm. You have accessories after the fact. You have accessories,
yep.
period. Mm. What are all the charges? You have after the fact. You have accomplices, right?
Conspirers.
People that conspire. I like that
hey,
because that's the word in the scripture.
Hey, you don't even got to be like, have done anything, but you knew about it.
Right.
You conspired.
Right. So what this is telling you, it says the creature itself, it has no choice. Mm. It couldn't side with these other nations. All right? It says it's subject to the same in hope, meaning it's subject to Christ. The Most High in Christ, because that's how the creation happened. And it says, the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Not all nations, to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Read.
Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
The whole creation. All right. This is why you get those catastrophes. Mm-hmm. That, listen, the earth, I mean, you know, it's going to do what the Lord wants it to do, but it does it with joy when it does those things, because mm-hmm. that's how it gets its frustration out. Hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, the Lord stirs that thing up and his creation happily complies because it's groaning right. and it's travailing in pain together with the Israelites until now. Read.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
That's all. I'm going to stop because it's just too much. It's too much. I could go back and forth between Romans 8 and freaking Isaiah 14 for the whole show. But I want us to get to other commentary and stuff. If y'all got scriptures or thoughts, go ahead, bring it out. And then I want to move it to, because we had a party and watch Childish Gambino last night. So let's make sure we talk about that. And I got this great article that I want to review. So, you know, let's talk about it. All right.
So let's hit it. Because what I wanted to bring out is just, it's going to go deep.
Well, we're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, we're going to take it somewhere else. You know, and I know it probably would have went somewhere else.
No,
and it takes explaining and people.
Go ahead. You got something?
Yeah, just to go about what you said about how they how that's how they let out their frustration and things like that, right? So I'm going to get the precept for that real quick before we move on, because, again, people are going to be like, what? What? That's not my Jesus. All right, this is Sirach 39, verse 28. There be spirits that are created for vengeance, which in their fury lay on sore strokes. In the time of destruction, they pour out their force and appease the wrath of him that made them. Fire and hell and famine and death, all these were created for vengeance. Teeth of wild beasts and scorpions, serpents and the sword, punishing the wicked to destruction. They shall rejoice in his commandments, and they shall be ready upon earth when need is. And when their time is come, they shall not transgress his word.
Oh, praises. I'm glad you brought that out, because, again, people are going to be like, what are these guys talking about?
Right.
Like, these are not my Jesus, right? That, what are they talking about? It is scriptural. They are happy to comply because they are moaning and groaning and travailing with us.
Right.
And that's their earnest expectation.
Right.
The Lord allows them to get a little
steamrolled. He created them. He created these spirits.
Right.
He created them. They're on standby right now. Right now, man, they're just sitting back, man, watching and waiting for the order.
Tell me when to go. Tell me when to go.
Yeah.
That's it. Exactly. Yo, hold me back, son. Hold me back.
Hey, the scripture does say that, right? He held back the full weight, right? He held everybody.
That's exactly what's going on. I know. We're making light of it, but yo, hold me back, son. Hold me back. That's exactly how it's going on. So, you know, Captain A, man, let's talk about the video, bro. because a big part of that is you know, Esau trying to jump on it and make it about the guns only.
Nah, they love that. There was way more.
You hear them mention some other stuff, but they don't really go as deep into it as they do into the gun piece.
Yes.
You know, one thing, I was watching a commentary. They did point something out, not just the care they handled the guns, but it was with red handkerchiefs. So they were saying that represents the Republicans.
Yep.
And their defense of that versus anything else.
That's a heavy
video,
man.
But understand, in a lot of these mass shootings that have happened at the school, it hasn't been necessarily racially motivated. I will say that. All right. But the video is a racially motivated video, bro.
Absolutely.
I mean, he just threw the gun thing in there to just let you kind of know, like, listen, this is the mindset of this country regardless, and we victims of it too. Like, you know, that thing is crazy.
I seen that thing 6 times yesterday, man, and I'm going to see it some more because there was so much in that video.
So much
in that video. First and foremost, and I'm going to give the brother, because he is a brother, right? Some accolades and mad props. The brother is like, he's multi-talented, man. You know, I give him a lot of credit on that, man. That was a great video. The exception I have with him, if I'm not mistaken, he's married to an Edomite, right?
He's married to an Edomite.
All right, so that's a problem.
And she is not Northern Kingdom.
Right, and that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Everything.
All right, because you can't serve two masters.
Right. Because it tells you either you will hate the one and love the other.
Right, exactly. And in addition, Bishop's been bringing this out. It's been the topic. Okay, show me who you married to, and I'll show you your allegiance. Right.
Yeah, we just came out with that meme this week that said, "Don't trust someone that talks black but marries white."
Yeah. Right.
You know what it is though? That's the spirit though, allowing something like that to come out,
mm-hmm.
because he has a chance, even though he's married
chance.
To the enemy.
Sure, he has a chance,
and it goes to show you the. How we're not supposed to be with them, man. There's a conflict there. You're telling me she was 100% on board with that video?
No.
Maybe
hell
to his
no,
face,
bro.
She wasn't feeling that.
No.
You think, wait.
Bro, it's all white people chasing him at the end.
Brittany and Tiffany are not talking to his wife. And saying, oh, yeah, he's very talented, but very autistic, but you realize you're white, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? So one of the things I want to bring out from the video, okay, is the church scene. And I looked at that whole video spiritually. Okay? Aside from the stuff that on the surface is what's happening, and it was great. But if you look at the choir, they're cooning like you wouldn't believe.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
They're happy.
And
I looked at
purpose,
every
bro.
Single
yeah.
one.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're happy as hell singing to Caesar Borgia, to the image of the beast, the fake image of Christ. The Caucasian image. That's what they were singing to. They're not happy that Christ is a black man.
Right.
They're not singing at that. They're happy as hell. Just like those church members, unfortunately. All right. They rest in peace, what have you, right? They're still our brothers and sisters regardless. And they had a chance. Okay. And maybe if they come back again, and most likely fit for them to come back, maybe they'll repent. Right. But they took this demon in, okay, with open arms. All right. Because you notice when he walked through the door, he walked in smiling. Happy, even danced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put them to sleep, just like Dylann Roof did.
Yep.
And then he gets handed the machine gun, and you see his whole face. I'm telling you, the brother's amazing. The brother's amazing, but he went in, the way he could change his act, everything, man. I was impressed.
Oh, it was good, man.
Super impressed. Blows them all up, and then the demon comes back on him. You notice? You don't see the different facial expressions?
Oh, yeah. Heavy.
Okay, so that's one of the ones that's one of the many things that stood out to me. But just what I was like, look at it, singing it, chucking and jiving, right? Hours on end every week in a church, okay? Just thinking that through osmosis, we're gonna be saved and get salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Open arms, let this freaking demon in, right? and he kills, what was it, 9, 10, whatever it was?
Right.
Sat there, listened to scriptures. Okay? Plotting, in his mind, he already knew everything. You know, at that point, that's super premeditated.
Right.
You know? You can't say that was just an act of rage. He took time to
right.
do that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. For
okay?
Sure.
So, That was one of the things that came out to me. The thing with the cell phone, okay? Some people are saying, oh, that's all about social media. Yeah, I'm not going to deny that we're so caught up with social media we forget. No, we're so caught up in our own lives that we forget what's going on to our own people. That's the way I looked at that whole thing when they wanted the cell phones, okay? The innocents, the kids in the Catholic school or the private school uniforms.
Give me Ecclesiastes 7:7, because you're saying a lot of stuff, but I want to bring the scriptural piece
okay.
to this, because it's good. It's good. This is all the stuff that we're seeing as we watch it together. His thing, I'm telling you, the whole video where he's going from that happy, cooning and dancing to like those angry type of frustrated faces,
mm-hmm.
listen to this.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad.
So he's showing you that those angry phases, that's the frustration of our people when they see what's going on in this company, in this country. When they see what's going on with the, and this goes back to the profiling, with the lack of just respect to see somebody as a, and I don't want to go too far if it's not Christian, but another human being, because they don't see us that way. They see us as animals and lesser.
Right.
You wouldn't be a student at Yale. Laptop,
yeah, right.
Right? With your laptop open, taking a nap in a freaking
common room.
In a common room, and get the cops called on you.
Or
you wouldn't be a black some black women that rented an Airbnb, and because you didn't wave at the owner as you were checking out, get the cops called on you.
You right. wouldn't be sitting in Starbucks, right? Like everybody does, because they have that open. You could sit there and you don't gotta buy a damn thing. Okay? And have the cops called on you.
You wouldn't be moving into your Upper West Side New York apartment and have the cops called on you because you're black.
Or you wouldn't be having a barbecue at the beach with your family and have the cops called on
you. You wouldn't be Native American and walking through a college campus that you got a full scholarship to go through and have the cops called on you because you look suspicious.
Native American.
Right.
Wasn't dark skin.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what the media reports. That's what's reported, which you know is a microcosm. It's a fraction.
Right.
It's a decimal of what's really going on. The scripture says, surely, not maybe, not kind of, surely. That means definitely oppression maketh a wise man mad. But then he goes to the happy place and read the next part.
And the gift destroyeth the heart.
So he starts laughing and dancing, and he goes, I'm so pretty. I'm this.
Right.
I'm that.
Get your money.
Right. The cell phone being a tool has a whole bunch of meanings to it, because it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on to get your money. You want your money for yourself. Mm-hmm. The music, the dancing.
You know what I saw, Cap? What, after every murder, right, it was like, but it's about me. I'm pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Right, get your money. Okay, yeah, that happened. Okay, for a split second, because and look at it spiritually. When things like that happen, we as a people, we get upset, right? We'll march a little bit, and then we go back to freaking depressing again.
Yep.
That's exactly his point.
And that's what that video was portraying.
Well, he was showing the marching and the protest in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, there's so much going on. There's so much going on in that video, and it's just, bro, it's wild. It's wild.
Right, because he walks up. Dancing, shoots the brother, right,
mm-hmm.
sitting down. By the way, you got to look at it closely. He went there handsome, clean. The clothes were clean, right, mm-hmm. having a good time, playing right. his guitar. And what happens? Like it happens a lot of times. Starbucks could have turned ugly.
Right.
Let's look at that. He got shot, okay, innocently doing nothing, okay? And they just dragged him off. Like every other black, Hispanic, Native American man that gets killed by cops or gets killed out there. Like nothing.
I'm going to show you what else, because you mentioned the guy with the guitar. Give me Psalms 137. It's another scripture
yep.
that comes to my mind.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's true.
Because that's what he's trying
yeah.
to tell you, that's all we good for.
Well, we good for. We're fine and dandy. We accept it there, but you get killed, just get dragged off.
That's all we good for. Psalms 137.
You want verse 3?
Yep. Start at 1.
The book of Psalms, chapter 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down.
Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion.
And that's what it's telling you here, right? Spiritually, America, Babylon represents America here, all right? Because the scripture doesn't have time. It's for always. It's for all time, all right? It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. That's happening today,
mm-hmm.
all right? And they're not the only thing that's missing there for a lot of our people is they're not remembering Zion. They're still struggling right. and wondering why. Why is white Jesus killing me? Why does white Jesus, I sang for them. I play sports for them. I entertain them. Mm-hmm. I make money and I buy the things that they buy. I dress like they dress.
I talk like they talk.
I talk like they talk. I go to the places that they go. I make all of them my friends in my inner circle.
Right.
And yet they still won't accept me.
Because what it comes down to is that even though that they weep and say these things, they don't declare plainly that they seek a country because they have no identity yet.
Right, because they have no identity. They don't declare that plainly.
They
want to
be accepted under the banner of America.
Right.
And not as an Israelite.
Go ahead.
We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof.
Go ahead.
For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song.
So he's telling you, he says harps here, but guitar, is singing, dancing, whatever it is. He says, hey, we have to hang our harps on the willows in the midst of where we're at in Babylon mm-hmm. because we have to have that with us at all times. Bro, that's the only – what is it? Is sports or entertainment that our people look to try to get out of the conditions that they're in?
Mm-hmm.
That's the best that you can hope to aspire to, right? Exactly. That's what they offer. He says, for there that they carried us away captives, they required of us a song. Go ahead.
And they that wasted us required of us mirth.
They wasted us. They broke our spirit. They took our identity. They created confusion of faces so that you could have a brother like this that can do such a powerful video statement
mm-hmm.
and then walks down the street with the same oppressor that wasted us.
And that's why his head is covered, because he has no identity. He's just
exactly.
a thing.
Exactly, that's the confusion.
When they shoot him, it's just a thing. He
that's
has
exactly
no identity.
He's
meaningless. He's fine when he's playing, right, chucking and jiving. But guess what? He gets killed. He has no idea. He's no one anymore.
Right. Right. Go ahead. Read on.
Saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion.
Sing us one of the songs of Zion. All right. And read verse 4.
How shall we sing the Lord's song in the strange land?
So that's symbolic of that with the guy with the guitar and all that stuff. And it's like, hey, and it don't matter. It don't matter. Bro, that's why. What was the one that the woman said something about LeBron James and he responded and he said something?
She said just shut up and dribble.
Yeah. That's bro. That epitomizes the whole point of what you're seeing in that video.
Yeah. In other words, she's saying is you can't be intellectual. Just go bounce your ball.
Just go
that's
bounce
your
forte. Ball.
You're out of your league,
right.
Black
just,
man.
Just go sing the song.
That's what
just
she's saying when
ball.
She says that.
Right. Right.
Trust me, man. That's what she's saying.
Right. Sing the song and bounce the ball. Oh, goodness. And then, hey, I don't know, bro. The brother have had to have heard some of this truth, bro, because then he has the pale horse with the rider of death riding in the background.
That wasn't a rider of death.
All right.
That was Trayvon Martin. He has a hoodie, and it's a young man on a horse. Look at it closely.
I saw somebody say the Trayvon thing, and someone said the guy that plays the guitar looks like Trayvon Martin's father. I'll buy that from him
that
because
one,
he's carnal.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna take it spiritual.
No,
because
take
maybe,
it spiritual.
Because maybe he don't realize it.
Right.
But it's death follows our people so long as we refuse to succumb.
And
to,
the cops will follow right behind
and,
it.
And the cops is the emissary of that.
Yep.
He's mm-hmm. using he uses the cops. He uses whatever's at his disposal, the Lord, to cast judgment on us. There he goes. He's bringing it. Bring it out. Bring it out.
The book of Psalms, chapter 17, verse 13. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword.
The wicked is God's sword. So when you see those cops behind them, you see these people that are afflicting us, they're using the police for that. Now, listen, I'm pro-police. All right.
So am I.
If a Negro won't be stupid and try to break into my house,
right.
I support the cops. But what I don't support is it, bro, I'm at a Waffle House because I took my sister to prom so she could have somebody to go to prom with. And the cop come up there and is choking me out. Now, mind you.
You're dressed up.
He's dressed up.
You're not dressed like a thug.
Now, mind you, he had a little bit of an altercation inside. I'll give full disclosure. But the brother's not a thugged out brother, bro. He went in there, somebody, it was, I don't know exactly the parameters, maybe somebody said something stupid to his sister or whatever it is.
Right.
All right. But he wasn't tearing up the place. Bro, and the cop yoking him up like that?
You see that one too many times, though. That's not the first. You see that just for no reason.
Eric Garner died because of some stupid shit.
Exactly like that. And that was uncalled for.
But I got to read some of this article
that
because there's some good points here, and it made me think of Trayvon Martin, because it talks about how suspicious activity to white people, right, or Esau, all right,
Esaul,
these other nations, is just being an Israelite. That's the suspicious. There's no suspicious activity. Moving into your apartment is not suspicious activity. Sitting in a Starbucks like everybody else does, waiting for somebody to come in, all right, to have a meeting with, that's not suspicious activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not waving as you're leaving a freaking rental to somebody that you don't know. Oh, maybe I don't want to wave at you.
Yeah, right.
The hell is this?
I don't wave at freaking that next to me.
I get the cops calling me because I won't wave at you. Yo, and then the chick is defending herself in the video talking about, like, oh, you know, if they would have just waved.
It sounds silly.
Man, I wish we had a recording of that. And then every time we get frustrated, I want to play it.
Because who the hell are you?
Right.
Well, I don't feel like waving. Guess what? I woke up, I'm mad. I don't like you.
But that's why it says the pride in their heart is deceived. Right. These are real prideful people.
Right.
That's what it comes out to. This is my kingdom. This is my kingdom.
Let me read this. So this is by Holly Yan. So I don't know. Maybe she's Moab or Ammon. I mean, you know, sometimes maybe that's her husband's name. Let me see if there's a picture of her. No, she looks Asian. All right. So Holly Yan wrote this. And it says, this is why everyday racial profiling is so dangerous. Now, mind you, Asians don't get racial profiled against. All right. So, okay. You might say some Arabs do, but it's not
they
really.
They get stereotyped, but they don't get racially profiled.
Right. So it says the headlines pop up with alarming frequency. People of color going about their daily business. Shopping, and you know, people of color, that's a media word too. Mm-hmm. That's a trigger word too. That goes into the casting the bands asunder.
Yep.
All right. It's still to create division between Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom.
Right.
You know, to make it seem like we're not one people. Because let me tell you something. Again, I will remind you, because someone might argue, well, I don't see Northern Kingdom people in the news for this stuff. That's by design. It's not as salacious, it's not as great as a story if it's happening to a Mexican, because they're all on one accord that they want all Hispanics out the country.
Right.
So they're not going to pity them. If anything, we got a little worse when it comes to that.
They don't see it because it says in want of all things, including where we go get our media from.
Right. So. Right. So it says about their daily bit shopping, golfing, moving in, only to have the cops called on them. But for every story that makes the news, there are countless others that don't involve police. All right. And some do involve police and don't make the news. Black customers who get followed too closely by store employees, like Cap was saying earlier, the department store. Hispanic students and Muslims who get asked if they're really American. This is everyday racial profiling, and it doesn't hurt just the victims. It has an insidious ripple effect on the rest of society, in business, health, and public safety. It's more common than people think. In just the past month, a golf course owner called police on black women because they were playing too slowly.
Wow. Damn. Listen, that's some messed up stuff right there, man, because golf is a slow game.
Well, that's it, right? Like maybe you don't understand what golf is, man. Golf takes like that's why I start like at 6 in the morning, because right. Golf takes all day.
That's 3 hours, easy, 18 holes.
Maybe more. You suck.
Yeah.
And that's why they get, wow.
A mom called police because two Native American students made her nervous. And a white student at Yale called police because a black student was napping in a dorm building common area.
Right.
And then defended her actions. You got to see the snapshot of her getting like angry as hell when people were asking about it. Everyday racial profiling is almost second nature now, said Darren Martin, a 29-year-old black man. Late last month, he was moving into his own New York apartment when a neighbor called police saying he was an armed burglar. Martin still has no idea what his neighbor could have mistaken as a weapon. He said it could have been the TV, the couch, the pillows. I don't know. Man, that makes people see things. I didn't have weapons. I just wanted to move home.
Yeah. You see, you don't understand. This guy is moving in and he's full of melanin.
That's exactly what it is. For people of color, everyday racial profiling is one indignity piled atop another. When he's leaving a store, Martin often hears the same line. Sir, can you please turn around and show me what's in your pocket? It's dehumanizing, he said. The consequences can be dangerous. The day Martin moved in, about a half dozen New York police officers showed up under the impression he was armed. Yo, that's dangerous stuff, man, because those cops, this is what I'm saying. You tell them that they're armed, they're going to go there. They want to go home to their family, bro. They're right. Not going to take any chances. You're putting them on edge unnecessarily. And not only that, you're misappropriating resources from real crimes that could be happening.
Right, and understand, when you're trained that every job, at least in New York City, and I speak from experience there, is a gun job. So you get an 80K, someone difficulty breathing, you're trained for your safety. Okay, old timers train you on this, that your job, that job, it could be a possible gun involved. So you're already in there in that mind. And Cap, you brought it out perfect. One of the other things you're trained in, make sure you sign out at the end of your tour and go home. So you have all of that already in your mind as you're racing to the scene.
He moved in about a half dozen New York police officers showed up under the impression he was armed. Had he made one wrong move, Martin said, he could have been killed. But there's a hidden and much more common danger to racial profiling, long-term health problems. There are enormous health consequences to those experiences, these everyday harms, because of the constancy of this stress, said Rachel Gulsey of the Perception Institute. They supposedly help to try to reduce discrimination. Minority groups who endure everyday discrimination often suffer high rates of chronic diseases. And now it makes you wonder why there's so many diseases that are so prevalent in like blacks and Hispanics and Native
stress,
Americans.
Man. Stress is the number one cause of disease.
And black, Latino, and Asian customers get charged higher car interest rates than whites.
I don't even know about the Asian thing.
Even if they have similar credit history. No, because Asians can't drive good.
Oh, you said for insurance? For insurance, right?
For insurance, not profiling. But that's a form of profiling. I'll give them that.
They can't drive.
They can't drive for shit.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm doing it now too. So what? It's true. They can't drive. All right? But even if they have similar credit histories, then there's the impact on business. Yeah, because underwriting, that's proprietary stuff. Nobody has to. There's no thing that says they can't racially or whatever discriminate.
Actually, you cannot based on race.
Well, they don't put it as race in their algorithms,
yeah, right,
though.
Right. Yeah.
They don't put it as race. Yeah. They hide it in something else. Then there's the impact on business. One study found that white job interviewers sat further away from black applicants than from white applicants and ended the interviews 25% sooner.
Damn.
Another study showed that resumes sent out with stereotypical white names, such as Emily and Greg, received 50% more callbacks than resumes with stereotypically black names, such as Lakeisha and Jamal, even if they had similar qualifications. That study also found that a white name yields as many more callbacks as an additional 8 years of experience. Wow. A white name, in their mind, counts as 8 years of job experience. Hey, let me tell you something.
Crazy.
That's another reason why it's so important to change your name. You can start flipping it up on them. Oh, you're going to flip it on them? Yeah, we're going to flip it on them. Because they're going to think you're a white boy when you come up in there. And when they see freaking Charlie Rangel, they're going to be like...
That has happened.
They're going to be like, damn, wait. They thought you were going to come in with a yarmulke.
That's what has happened.
About as white as this wall. Hey, man.
Even my old name.
That yeah.
I walked in and they're like, oh. You know, they're looking surprised.
Oh, I know. It's like, what's the O, right? Like, what the hell is that? I've gotten O's. Another study showed that... okay, so racial profiling impacts white people too. So I was a little hesitant to read this. I had to read it first because I was like, wait a second, they better not try to pity party them, all right? It says, Gosso urges those who are white to think about what it must be like to live under a cloud of suspicion and to acknowledge that that's something that those of us who are white never have to think about. As director of research for the Perception Institute, Gosso said racial profiling has a broad ripple effect on everyone. Even if it happens to someone that doesn't look like you, it's a harm to the community. For example, many calls, this is the point that I want to bring out, about a suspicious person don't really involve suspicious activity.
Mm.
It's just a person of color walking down the street. Trayvon Martin, because his hoodie was up, but it would have happened if the hoodie was down.
Right.
Don't freaking get it twisted, okay? And what did he go to the store to get some Skittles and iced tea?
Yep.
And he defends himself because this dude is coming up to him like, I'm gonna defend myself too.
Right. Sure.
And so the dude started it.
Mm-hmm.
And then pleads self-defense, and gets away with it.
And they believed it.
And gets away with it.
A kid.
Right.
A kid. And he was a big, fat dude.
I don't understand how you convince a jury like that with all that, I mean, I do understand, it's of the Lord. How you convince a jury like that all right? Like, let's just say that because these people aren't spiritual, that he was in danger for his life, and so what he did was justified.
They went ahead as far as saying that
he had like 100 pounds on him.
Yeah, right. That the screaming was him. How do you determine that from a scream?
Why does that even matter?
No, but I'm just saying.
No, I know, but
the stuff that they were putting into evidence meant all because remember, beyond a reasonable doubt, you got to find a person guilty or innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Only an Edomite could be screaming. Can't be us. God forbid, because we're animals. We have that. We have no emotions
right.
in their eyes.
It makes me think of, I think I brought this out last time where it talks about, well, I brought this out on a Native show. Give me Deuteronomy 28:25. The part about being smitten.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
Now, prophetically, that's dealing with how they came and they conquered a lot of our civilizations and stuff we had up, right? And we couldn't stand against them. But we're still smitten before them to this day. All right? Jump to verse 28.
Verse 28. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart.
That's all the stressors and everything that they're talking about. We have health problems because of this everyday profiling that we live with, all right? But look at Gad. Look at our Native American brothers and sisters. They have the high suicide rates by percentage.
That's right.
All right? A lot of them are drunk. They're alcoholics. And when you look historically, people will be like, oh, well, that's their fault. No. They got them hooked on the whiskey, man. That was Esau's thing.
Fault, man. We were law-abiding, man, you know, meaning scriptural, because we follow customs of the 42 many books, okay? We follow our customs, which is in this Bible, all right? You think about it, man. You're put from this big of a place to this big of a place, okay? You're going to go mad.
Yeah, you sure are. All right. Go ahead, read on.
And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness.
Because it's that confusion of faces. It's that astonishment. It says you're going to grope at noonday as the blind grope. That meaning there's so much light around you, but you're going to be blind to everything.
You can't see.
You're still not going to be able to see. Read on.
And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways.
This is why we can never make you can never rise above the level of your people. You'll have individuals that'll go over that, but they also get racially profiled. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. You're trying to be like them or whatever, and you still get look at this guy. He's moving into the Upper West Side. That means the brother got some money. He got a pretty good job. All right, read on.
And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee.
That we're oppressed and spoiled evermore. All right? So it says, for example, many calls about a suspicious person don't really involve suspicious activity. Just a person of color walking down the street. This kind of racial bias wastes officers' time and resources, which could be spent actually protecting communities. On a more personal level, those holding racial biases are actually harming themselves too. When you start feeling anxiety about someone's race, Godso said, it triggers the amygdala, the part of the brain that's activated by fear. That's a high level of stress on your body. So she's trying to put a different angle on it here and say, like, you know, white people, stop doing that because you're giving yourself undue stress. In addition to reducing the harm of bias to those being stereotyped, delinking races with negative stereotypes will be a physiological benefit to those holding the bias. If people can begin to let go of the fear, it will benefit them personally as well. Racial profiling often stems from what researchers call implicit bias, a bias we might not be consciously aware of. This is where you'll have those people and they'll be like, but I have black friends, but I have Spanish friends, but I'm not that type of person. I'm a Christian. You have a bias within you that you're not consciously aware of, all right? So this goes back to them not being upright, all right? That their spirit is not right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Becker,
it's telling you that. So, for example, studies show white people will frequently associate criminality with black people without even realizing they're doing it. And mind you, a lot of them do realize that they're doing
right.
it, all right? Let's not discredit
right.
that.
Yep.
But – You know, the Beckys, the Toms, the Tiffany's that you know, the Bobs that you think are your friends and oh, but we go to happy hour every Thursday after work, all right? Just like they don't represent the whole race, they don't see you as representing the whole race. So they will still have bias against your people, but not necessarily you, because their excuse is, but I know you.
Right.
Because you've had that. I've seen things like that where they interview people like that and whatever, and be like, but no, I don't feel that way about you because I know you.
Trust me, that thing's in the back of their mind, man. Trust me, man. That's BS.
And the seeds of bias are often planted in our heads before kindergarten. So this is something, I'm telling you, is learned at home. It is passed down. Social scientists believe children begin to acquire prejudices and stereotypes as toddlers, which helps schools educate children about tolerance and diversity. Those environmental triggers can come from verbal slurs, ethnic jokes, and acts of discrimination. And mass media routinely take advantage of stereotypes as shorthand to paint a mood, scene, or character. Once embedded, these biases are hard to shake. Impossible to shake is what I'm going to tell you, because the scriptures say it's prophetic. They will never, ever, listen, I'm sorry, this article for me kind of encompasses all the ignorance of people trying to, it's insulting when you try to marginalize incidents and say it's not because of race,
right.
It's because of this, it's because of that, it's because, well, listen, I do agree, if a cop pulls you over or whatever, because you understand about the racial bias, to save your life, you should comply a certain way. But yo, but that doesn't happen. Boy, white people will curse a cop out. Do you know who I am?
Man,
why are you pulling me out?
There's a video on YouTube, man, where this Edomite man gets pulled. It was an old video, man. He's telling this. He even rips up the summons, throws it, and the Edomite cop is calm throughout the whole thing, man. And he's, I mean, it's to the man. It even says in the thing, this cop keeps his cool.
Right.
Yeah, because he was another Edomite.
Course.
So stereotypes and prejudices resist change, even when evidence fails to support them or points to the contrary. Because, give me Deuteronomy 28:37. This is why.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 37.
This is why they won't change. Go ahead.
Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword.
Because God said this is what we would become.
Among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead
it said, does it say among some nations?
Among all nations.
Does it say that around your friend Becky and Bob?
Among all nations.
That means even them, as a people, you're an astonishment and a byword and a proverb to them. Go ahead.
Whether the Lord shall lead thee, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field.
That's it. That's all I wanted. All right. So it's telling you that the proverb, the byword, the astonishment, that's the stereotype. That's the racial profiling. We will always have that. And anybody who tries to say, yeah, because they'll try to say when we talk about the race piece of these things that we're perpetuating that racism.
No, it's already perpetuated. You just said it. It starts in the home. So that's generation to generation. It's perpetuated in the home. Nothing that we say is going to change anything.
Right.
We don't have power like that in this earth right now. That's already brought up. It's a stereotype that's in the home. I always say this. The conversations that Edomites, who the world falsely calls Caucasians or white, have with their children is not the same conversation we have with our children.
Right.
See, our conversation with our children is, got to work hard, right, and do the best you can because, you know, maybe they'll say we're at a disadvantage, mm-hmm. so do good, you know, follow the law. Their conversation is, don't let no other nation, particularly blacks, Hispanics, okay, ever – don't you ever think that they're better than you.
Right.
Okay? They have different conversations. Their conversations are totally different than what we and it stands to reason why we don't have the proper conversations, because we don't have an identity. So if you don't have an identity, you have nothing to use as reference. This is why all praises to the Most High. Conversations I have with my children are based on reality, okay, and the scripture and this Bible right here.
Right.
Okay? They know you got to deal with them at school. Right? Because they had that same conversation with them. You got to deal with them at school. Mm-hmm. But they know at the end of the day, don't trust them. Don't ever trust them.
So, you know, she goes on to try to give pointers on how you can fight back against racial profiling. But that's presuming somebody wants to change it. And this is the mistake that's made. The scripture says, among all nations, we will be an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword. This means they don't want to change it. It says, whatever you do, don't try to pretend prejudices don't exist. Mm-hmm. And that's their way of trying to fight back, by ignoring it, which is the same way they try to ignore slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget the Holocaust, but forget what happened. That was 400 years ago. Why are you still talking about that? People who argue that prejudice is not a big problem today are ironically demonstrating the problem of unconscious prejudice. It says Kelly Fifth Marshall, one of the two black women, along with a black man, wrongfully accused of burglarizing their Airbnb rental, said it's time to make a conscious effort to stop racial profiling. It seems as a black person, you can't live. There's nothing you can do without calling the cops. This is getting out of hand. It's been out of hand, sister. It's been out of hand. And your biggest mistake is trying to assimilate with them.
There it is.
It's high time. Listen, what's been 40, 50, almost 60 years since Dr. King said fought for us to be integrated.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And in 60 years, it has not worked. I think we need segregation, just not forced segregation. I'm saying go back to Richard Spencer. I think, you see, they mistook equality for meaning we want them to accept us. Things would have been better if we would have had equal support from government structures and different things like that, and not have things like Black Wall Street, not have things like Rosewood,
mm-hmm.
And just let us do our thing, but we're going to do it our way
right.
and with our people.
Right.
And we'd be better off for it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But we know that that wasn't the Lord's plan. That's not the Lord's plan, and that's why you know we have what we have now.
Yeah, because then we would be comfortable, right? And we wouldn't be following the Lord's statutes and commandments because we would be that way, right? But we wouldn't be following. It wouldn't be as Israelites. It would be as an African American,
right?
Hispanic,
that's what we'd be missing.
Native
so
American.
Lord, yeah. So the Lord wouldn't.
Because that's not the prophecy. You got to be thinking.
Well,
yourself.
That's what's missing. That's ultimately,
identity.
You know, that's always been.
We have no identity.
Well, the identity and the scriptures and keeping those
mm-hmm.
laws.
If that were the case, if we didn't integrate and then see that there actually is a separation as far as how they treat us as a people, then these curses never would have came to life. Then like we never would have saw that they're the head and we're the tail. That like we're oppressed and spoiled always, so on and so
right,
forth.
Right, because at the end of the day, we went into the curses. And into slavery because we didn't follow the laws that we discontinued for our inheritance.
Right.
So that wouldn't have worked either.
You remember what God said? Can I get a quick scripture?
Yeah, sure.
Ahead,
in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to start at 11. It says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." And I'm going to jump back up to verse 10. It says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved."
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. We don't want to receive the true knowledge that's actually here for us.
And that's why it's like that. And that's why, listen, 10 years will pass, and somebody else will come up and do a video like Donald Glover just did.
Yep.
Because that none of that's going to change.
Donald Glover.
You cannot bring awareness to the situation. Because, first of all, the Lord poured out the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that put the darkness. So what that's telling you, he's the one that did it. It means he's the only one that can lift it.
Right.
So awareness and the media trying to change. You cannot try to change your oppressor. You can't change anyone.
Hey, how much more awareness do you need? It's been on the news, the segregation, the lynchings.
Right.
It's not about awareness.
Right.
There's obviously at some point black man, Hispanic man, black woman, Hispanic woman, Native American man, Native American woman. You have to say to yourself, there is awareness out there. It's in the media every day. But why are we still in these conditions?
I'm going to tell you why, because this is what's lacking. Give me Deuteronomy 4 and start at 5.
And then I got to preach something next for you, Cap, as
mm-hmm.
well, too.
Actually, read verse 4.
Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 4.
Actually, read verse 3.
Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of
Baal Peor.
Baal
Peor.
Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you.
All right. So this is a good example for today because in that time, it was them following after false gods and God destroyed them. It's the same thing today. We are going through what we're going through. That whole video that Donald Glover did. Okay. This is America. It's because we as a people, you can't try to inflict change on others when you understand that the wicked are God's sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Lord that we must entreat, not Esau, not Moab, not Ishmael. It's the Lord that we must entreat. Read.
But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive.
every one of you this day, you will survive those things, just like Judith 5, all right, talks about. You will survive all things as a people if you come back. This is what's missing. Stop trying to entreat your enemy to see you as equals. They never will. Read.
Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land where ye go to possess it.
Because this is what God has given to us as a heritage. Read.
Keep therefore and do them.
That's a commandment. Go ahead.
For this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations.
Because this is your wisdom and this is your understanding in the sight of the nations. These laws, statutes, and commandments. Go ahead.
Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
And they don't say that now because we all jacked up. We freaking violent against each other because it's true, man. You know, everybody was getting on Kanye for that statement that he made. But then they show the rest of the clip and he's saying, how come it's not a big deal when it's black on black crime, but we make a big deal when it's white on black crime? Now, he don't have the scripture. That dude is whacked out. But it goes back to what I'm, the point that I'm just trying to make right now. Is
super
that,
sunken place.
Yeah, he is in a sunken place. But if you think about this. That is expected for them to do that to us. But we shouldn't be, we need to have outward. Look at Chicago, man. It's part of the problem. It's part of the problem. And the solution is here in these scriptures. You know, go ahead. You said you got something?
Yeah, this goes back to what you're saying, Captain, about how we can't change our oppressors, all right? There's nothing that we can do to stop what God had created to be that way in the first place. This is 2 Ezra 9, verse 18. And now when I prepared the world, which was not yet made, even for them to dwell in that now live, no man spake against me, for everyone obeyed.
Mm.
So before he said, let there be light, before he created the heavens and earth, there were spirits dwelling with the Most High in the beginning. He said, you're going to go into the earth and you're going to fulfill a particular purpose. He created the wicked to be the wicked. You can't change the wicked from being what it was created to be.
Right. They were a vessel for destruction.
Exactly.
Says in Romans.
Vessels of wrath fitted for destruction.
It says in Sirach that good is set against evil. There has to be that balance.
They are vessels of wrath fitted for. This is why they're so angry. This is why they hate us so much.
Yep.
They were made for this purpose.
That is what it is. It says that the heathen rage because they envy us. Of course they envy us. God made 18 nations and said, okay, you're fitted for destruction and you're fitted to inherit the entire earth as long as you obey me.
Hey, I'm going to tell you another thing. I'm gonna take it a little step further for the ones that don't know that, all right, because, you know, your common Becky or Bob doesn't know that we're the son. It's a mockery to them when we say that we're the ones that are fitted for salvation.
Right.
But think about Get Out. And their obsession with it being black people because they wanted an athlete. The other one wanted the big rod, right? She's like, oh yeah, is it true what they say? She's telling them, freaking old, yeah. Is it true what they say? They envy us because they see the blessings that we're endowed with. Bro, the whole speech with the son, where he's talking about, you know, if you really got good work there and your natural genetics,
mm-hmm. He said you would be a beast.
Yeah. Yeah, because he knows, they know that they can never aspire to do those things.
Right.
Bro, that's why we dominate the sports world. Once they let us in, that's one thing. We did take their jobs in that. I mean, you got to sprinkle it in there, but.
They had a 400-year head start on reading, and then we dominate academics as well, too.
Yeah.
Every
not
great
just physical, right. Right.
Listen, the inventions that make the world go round today were created by us.
Exactly.
True.
What are you gonna say? Speak up. You're a politician.
What did they create? Disease.
Right.
Havoc. And the proof is in the Bible. Havoc. Because the proof is in the Bible. It says the whole foundations are out of course.
Oppressive government.
Right. He said, and what did they create? Havoc. They are the border of wickedness. They are the start and ending of all wickedness in the earth. That's what they created, just being the devil the Bible speaks of.
Yeah, and that's why. And what I say is, their prophecy was that they would live by the sword.
Right.
So it's not surprising when they are violent against our people or against any people. That's their nature.
that's their nature.
Yeah, they had no blessing.
Hey, it's like, I've said this before, right? Abiel likes to tell it sometimes too. It's supposedly, I can't really go and quote the exact source. It's a Native American proverb. It's about the frog and the scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
And the frog is like, you know, by the river's edge, and there's a scorpion there, and the scorpion comes over, and he's like, hey, man, I need to make it across, man. Can I ride on your back? And the frog is like, hell no. He's like, why? He was like, well, 'cause you're a scorpion, and you're going to sting me. And he was like, why would I do that? He goes, if I sting you as we're swimming across, I'm going to die too. And the frog said, well, yeah, it makes sense. So they start swimming across, and about halfway across, the scorpion stings him. And before they both go under and die, the frog goes, why'd you do it? He said, I'm a scorpion. It's in my nature. And they die. Bro, so when you're here and you're asking Esau why, and you're trying to hug him, and you're trying to show him that Black Lives Matter, you got to understand that it's a spiritual reason that he hates you. It is deeper than that. He will never see you as a person, as an equal. He will never see you as anything but something less that has no value, because it starts at home and is conditioned that way and is spiritual. Even if it is to his own demise, he's going to do what he do.
Mm-hmm. Bro, everybody plays a role in this life. Everybody has a role. Okay? The Bible talks about everybody's role, and their role was and is to be who they are.
The sword of the Lord.
If you ask Esau, hey, why'd you do that? He's going to say, because surely as iron rusteth, so does my wickedness.
Didn't you read that?
That's what I was created to do. Come on.
Right. Right.
We've always wanted to be like him, though. We always wanted to.
Because we have no identity.
And that's
been
our downfall.
Because who's the epitome of perfectness? Hey, they even went as far as calling themselves white.
Well, you know what's so funny? It's in our spirit, though, because even how we get King Saul. All the other nations have a king. We want a king.
Well, that's exactly how that went down, too.
And, you know, yeah, Samuel was trying to tell him, no.
Yeah, that right. is. That is. And because, again, look at what Moses had to go through in the wilderness, man. Because
right.
of the hardness of their hearts, Christ said. All right? Divorce was not so.
Well, and if you think about it, man, those kings, even with the prosperity, that was all symbolic. Again, yep. I'm going into that small minds where people see that stuff and they don't see the reality behind it. That served many purposes. It mm-hmm. was to give you a taste of what it could mm-hmm. potentially look like when it's good, but also to let you know that without Christ, there is no king that's going right. to be able to right. have the kingdom endure right. and that we will all go in eventually, because they all did. They all eventually did wicked stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They all eventually had the
all
kingdom rent from them.
All of them.
All of them. All are kings.
That's why he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But that's been our downfall from the very beginning. To the time of Adam, always following after the other nations,
right.
wanting to do what they do. And
that's why the king announced. They said that we got to go to a place where never man can dwell.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there we'll keep our statues. But nope.
Still didn't happen.
Because why? You had. You know what you needed to do, really, for that to take effect? I mean, and this is, you can't, it's God's prophecy was going to happen anyway.
Right.
But you got to, only the newborns could be there.
You know what?
Because anybody who was influenced by the other nations, they brought that with them.
Also, right. It said in verse 46, when it talks about the curses, it says that they should be upon that seed forever, right?
Right.
So Gad was over here chilling, right? Gad and the other 10 tribes over here chilling. And then the curses follow you, and it came in the form of the Nina, the Penta, and the Santa Maria. They were like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but why did it come like that? Because we were being wicked.
No, exactly. So it's like, there's no getting away from these curses, man.
It followed him. You're right about that.
And the good ship Jesus.
Right. Anyway, got about a minute left. So that was our show today. Bo, I always feel like there's just more, but it's like, coming in, we don't know. And I think that's the best way, though, man, because the spirit kind of takes over. It's hard to prepare for this type of platform, because we've always maintained this is, you know, for us to kind of see where the spirit takes us and give our views and thoughts on stuff. Support us, help us, all right? I know we have a lot of our viewers that are in their process of repenting, and that's great because it's more edification for you. But don't keep silent about it. Send these shows to you know, non-believing family and friends that are of the tribe.
Yeah, this ain't entertainment, what we're doing here.
Right.
Okay.
You know,
this is a mission.
Remember, Paul said, I labor not for myself only, but for all those that seek understanding. So, You can do that by sending, maybe you're not equipped to really break it down. Send these resources out to them, all right? That's the purpose of the show. So, Lord's will, we'll be on next Sabbath. We have the Spanish show on Monday. We have a weekday show on Wednesday. There's the Native Latin and Black Lost History show. Signing off. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.